Welcome to the Northern Affinity Video Podcast. During this session, we will be having an unedited discussion with an expert. And what I'll be planning to do is, during our discussion, get them to teach me something. Teach me about something that's of interest, but also they are an expert in. I'm Michael Edwards, and I'm the founder of the Northern Affinity. And I will tap into our wonderful community to bring you along on my drive for self-improvement and my desire to learn. So please connect with me on various social media platforms, whether it's LinkedIn or Instagram or Twitter. And I'd love to hear from you what subjects you'd like to learn more about, or what subjects you think it'd be good for me to learn about. So please, you know, get in contact and let me know. All the details will be in the show notes, and you can send me an email or contact me by the various platforms. I really hope you enjoy the show. So I'd like to welcome Helen Hill to the latest edition of the video podcast. Firstly, welcome, Helen.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. For those who are kind of watching this on video, that Helen is both an unlikely genius and going to tell us all about Be the Future. So it's a few hats that Helen wears, but we'll go into that in a minute. But the conversation today is going to be very much about sustainability and your business, the planet, and you. But before we kind of go into that, Helen, do you want to just kind of give us a brief synopsis of you and who you are, and then we'll kind of dive into the conversation?
Brief being the optimal word with me, isn't it?
Yeah, with you. Yeah, absolutely. That's why I made sure I said it. I don't normally say brief.
Yeah. So my main business is Unlikely Genius. And I'm an educator. So I started up in e-learning, but I've moved much more back towards creative educational resources now. So things like books and toolkits and things, and getting the enjoyment back in learning. And I'm also a business coach, and have just this morning qualified with the climate change coaches to bring in the environmental aspect. And then Be the Future is our environmental initiative aimed at families and schools. So we're trying to help them unleash their power to change the climate story. So there's lots of connection finally going on, bringing everything back together.
Excellent. You forgot to mention author there as well.
Oh, yes, I did. double now. I am the author of Falling Off the Ladder, which some people might know me more as that, actually, but I am bringing that back into Unlikely Genius now that they are kind of got an overarching purpose to bring them together to make my life easier, you know.
Yes, yeah. Keep things nice and simple, Helen, as usual. So, firstly, congratulations on this morning and the news. That's great. And obviously, today we're going to kind of talk about sustainability. Do you want to tell me a little bit more about what that means to you? And I guess it's probably kind of obvious, but why are we having this conversation?
Yeah, well, I mean, sustainability does mean different people to different things to different people, depending what kind of spheres you move in. And I have very much come at a lot of this from the environmental angle, obviously, of us creating a sustainable planet. And, you know, this idea that we're not just saving the planet, we're saving ourselves. And it's a really big movement. It's really important. Deadlines are hitting, all of that. But it's, you know, I try and do it in a very much a way that it's about learning about this stuff through fun and happiness. And that's our big ethos at Be the Future. We don't do the doom and gloom. And what I've tried to do is tie it back to our well-being as business owners, because it's not just about taking action for the planet. You've also got to make sure that you are sustainable first, and that your business is sustainable for you. Because there's no point trying to take all this action. And this is something that I can come on to because of the climate change coaches framework. But, you know, until you have got yourself sorted, it's that good old analogy of the oxygen mask. You can't be taking action for others or making change in this world until you've got yourself kind of on a level playing field, first of all. So I really see them as three very connected principles of you, your business, and your planet, your own planet. And I've helped people to now create what I've called their ecosystem. So really looking at you, your surroundings, the way you've set your days, your weeks, your business up, and how it helps you thrive, but then also move on to taking action elsewhere.
And this feels important to me, because I think if you ask most people about anything to do with climate and sustainability, there were kind of a lot about essentially overwhelm of information and things, and it almost feels like we have to make huge steps, which, and when I say we, I'm talking individually here, as a collective we do, but actually the individual, there's a lot of small steps that can make a big difference, isn't there? And, you know, we hear about, phasing out petrol and diesel cars by X year and doing this and doing that, but that's probably not something we can kind of do too much about in the short term. It's about doing your own thing. Would that be fair?
Yeah, absolutely. And there is a figure that goes around about if everybody did 1% better, it would actually fix this climate solution rather than the minority to doing everything.
Okay.
It's that old, like, sort of small steps make big changes. I can't remember whether it was 1% or whatever, but if we could, as a collective, as a population, all do our little bit, it really moves things forward in huge leaps and bounds. And this is something that we talk about all the time at Be the Future, and I bring it into business coaching as well. This thing, if we try to do everything and we look at the massive picture, we just see this end goal we have to get to. And we forget to celebrate all the little steps along the way. We forget all the changes we've already made, all the differences we've already made. And this is why I talk about things like, you know, keeping social proof folders and books of wins and any little things, gratitude journals, whatever it is that will help you just look back and think, you know what? I have done a lot, and realize that you are in a continual evolving step forward, even when you don't feel like it. And we can't do everything every day. We can't do everything at all. But the big thing is to find where you have agency. It's that thing of what cause can you really speak out about and help people with. So, for example, in my unlikely genius side, I very much talk about things like your digital footprint. So the fact that as creatives, we have like 20 versions of every design file we create and things like that, because you know clients are always like, can we go back to version one, can we do this, but you know, when you get to the end of a project, delete them all except the last one. You don't need them now. They weren't the one that was used. You know, emails with attachments on, all these things that add up, you can quickly dissolve and reduce your digital footprint. On the Be the Future side, we've really focused in on the seas at the moment and the impact on warming oceans, of plastics in the ocean, of pollution, because Sally lives in Sydney near the beach, has grown up there. She loves the beach. And I've just always been fascinated by the ocean. So that's where we've started. We don't do it all. I mean, I call Sally my guru because she, so I should explain, Sally is my business partner in Be the Future. She, you know, is very much further on in her journey than me, but I openly talk about the fact that I'm an imperfect environmentalist. I'm doing steps, but I'm not there yet. I'm not a vegan. I still drive a car, but I've reduced my plastic use. I've reduced this digital footprint. I'm switching to ethical providers for things like web hosting and all that kind of stuff. And that's where you can really start to build your impact. And that's where we all have to start. We can't go in at doing everything, because it's like when you go on a diet, isn't it?
Yeah.
You
put
everything out, you soon get fed up, you binge on everything and you fall off the wagon. So.
Yeah, and I think you've actually hit on a really important point now, just thinking that, you know, people, I think most people want to try and do better. But I think the problem is that kind of what you said there, there's a lot of noise about being perfect, shall we say, or at least appearing to be perfect. But it's steps. And I remember, this is a while ago, seeing someone post on one of the social media, I can't remember which platform, saying something along the lines of they're going to go, I think, 3 days a week to be vegan, have vegan meals only. And they got a lot of abuse from people saying, why don't you do it 7 days a week? And to me, that's completely the wrong way of seeing that, because I've not done it myself, but if you're going to go vegan, it's quite a big change in lots of ways. Surely going 3 days a week is better than no days a week. That's how change happens, because it's slowly.
Yeah, and then you can start to bring your family on board, and they might start trying the odd vegan meal, thinking, oh, this isn't too bad. And it is a big commitment to make that switch, and it is harder to shop, and it can become more expensive. So you've also got to think about what fits in your life and your family's life. I mean, my other half is a carnivore, you know, he lives for meat. So if I went vegan, that would cause so many issues for us as a household. Plus, I have a lot of food allergies. If I cut all, like, and just go plant-based, I'll be living off seeds. I can't even eat seeds. Rice, I think, is all I'd be able to eat.
Rice and water.
So it's not sustainable for my life, really, at the moment. So I can what I try to do is make sure like at least one meal a day is more sort of towards the vegetarian or vegan angle and things like that. So like you say, that's at least a small step I can take, where it's not where meals where we're eating together. It's not going to impact him and his life. And he's got other areas where he's great. Like he's got such a small footprint when it comes to things like shopping and clothes and things like that. So he does it that side. And you've got to find as a family what you each care about and how you can support each other's angles, because you know, you might have a kid that really cares about the animals and wants to go vegan and all that, and you want to support them, amazing. And if, like I say, if you can do that, a meal a day, two meals a day, fabulous. But it might be something else entirely. I often find, and this is something I almost had a rant about yesterday, that the people that judge you for these actions and saying things, well, it's not enough, are the ones that are taking no action. And they're finding an excuse to pick at other people as a way of comforting themselves for them not doing anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've seen it with a business friend of mine who, you know, got really actively involved in fracking in their area, managed to turn it all around. It didn't go ahead. And she was getting hounded by journalists camped outside her house saying, well, you've not got solar panels, you've not got an electric car. Your husband has, you've not. She can't do everything. And that wasn't the issue she was particularly bothered about at that moment. Fracking was the issue. So they just lose sight in a bid to have a go at people. And I think it's important to keep that in mind if someone does comment, that question what they're doing, because you're likely doing a hell of a lot more than they are.
Yeah, it's that kind of whataboutism, isn't it, with a lot of things. You're probably right with people like that. It's looking at ways to kind of justify what they're doing. So let's kind of look at the you bit of it now. And we've talked there about, you know, little things. So what kind of little things? And you touched on email, and it's interesting you say that, because I once heard something interesting about email earlier. But what little things can we do, can I do?
Well, we're actually going to, so we've got someone working with us at Be The Future at the moment where we're building a page on our website called Just Start, and it will be 10 different actions in different areas where you can make a difference, and these things can add up, and you can earn points and you can earn badges and things like that as well to get your kids involved. So all of our, you know, badges for yourself, because we all love them. But, you know, again, you don't have to look at all of them. If you looked at digital and just thought, right, out of these 15 actions, I could clear out all the photos on my phone, because who needs that picture of that beer you had in Crete in 2005 and all the rest of it? And we're all guilty of that, and me included. So clearing out photos, to put your camera on a lower resolution setting, because none of us need a like 10,000 megapixel photo unless you're going to be printing it on your wall. So really, you know, just by even knocking your camera resolution down to medium, you would save gigabytes and gigabytes of space. Because the thing with a lot of this is we see the cloud as this invisible entity that all our files are stored in, and it's so easy now. But these servers in the desert in America that are powering them are one of the biggest consumers in of everything, really. You know, that just powering Google alone are huge consuming servers. So anything like that where, and like I say, instead of sending attachments on an email to a group of people where it then keeps getting forwarded as people reply and message forward it onto other people, just send a link from something like Dropbox where they have to download it, because then it's not getting fired to everybody in the conversation and only one person needed it. So it's little habits like that that were a game changer for me. And the more you talk about this, and this is where it comes in, the more you go online and say, I've just cleared like 3 gigabytes of space, other people go, oh, I've got 10 minutes, I could do that. And just from one post I did, someone picked up on it a while ago and went off with some of his business mates. And in a meeting, they deleted 250,000 emails between them just from him going, oh, I think we should do that. And, you know, that is the power of just that one little action. And okay, in the grand scheme of what's sent every day, it might be just a tiny bit of the ocean. But like, if we all did that regularly and scheduled that in, that is a powerful thing, and it's change you're making. Even though you can't see it, it is making difference somewhere to some creature or other, you know.
Yeah, and that's where education comes into it. Because I think if you told most people, I don't think they'd know that. They didn't. Probably once you explained it, kind of it does make sense. I remember when I heard it first, it made sense, but you just kind of don't think through that process too much, do you? When you think about the obvious things about the cars or traveling and heating our home, like the kind of the day-to-day stuff. But I mean, these are even more day-to-day, actually, aren't they?
Yeah.
Can make a huge difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is where, you know, just having us kind of that step back to look at your lifestyle and just think, what could be having the biggest impact here for me and the way I live? Is it that you are a big consumer of products, that you shop all the time, that you get delivery sent to your house every day? Slightly guilty on this one. Or, you know, and that's the area that I really need to cut back. Are you using, like I say, hosting for your companies that are investing in fossil fuels, or your pension fund, things like that? Are they investing in places that are really contributing to the decline of our planet, or, you know, creatures or animals and things? Are you working for clients that just don't align with your values even? Because that's going to be something where you start to feel disconnect with how you're talking about this and how you feel about taking action. You can start to feel like an imposter, and then it puts barriers up, and it creates that mental block of you doing anything more. So there's so many different ways of looking at sort of how you contribute and the impact you have. And it's just about knowing where to start. So like I said, this is why we are creating a resource about this, because it is the key thing I hear, that I'd love to do more, but I don't know where to start, is the first thing. And the second thing is, how do I talk to the kids about it without putting the fear of God in them? So they're the key things that I'm trying to kind of contribute to through the work I do.
Yeah, I'll tell you about a big change of probably I've made over the last relatively recent time is around, I guess, clothing.
Yeah.
I think I've been naturally like this anyway, so it's not been a massive change for me, but anyway, but this, generally speaking, and this is obviously not accurate of everything, the more you pay for something, the better quality it gets and the longer it lasts.
Yeah.
So I'm of the opinion I'd rather have, let's say, 5 T-shirts that I wear for years and years and years and years, because they're higher quality, but I paid a little bit more for them, than buying 20 that I wear 10 times and then start to fall to pieces once I've worn them. And I've been like that in some areas of my life, but less so in others, but I've purposefully changed that now. And I always use the example of I bought a pair of running trainers, I think it was 2007, but they were like top end of the price bracket at the time, and here we are in 2023 and they are still my gym trainers. Probably not perfect for out running now, because some of it's gone, but in terms of just going to the gym,
yeah,
they are fine, and they are, I'll be honest, they look like they're basically new. And
yeah,
that's one story I always kind of remember, and can't do it with everything obviously, and it's not always the case, but I think generally speaking that's a big difference.
Yeah, and even if you're done with those things and they have been worn, there are still organisations and people that can benefit from you passing them on. There's repair cafes that if your top has just got a little bit of a hole in it, someone will fix it for you. You don't even have to do it yourself. And the more you find out about those kind of things in your local area, you start to realise there's more and more out there. For, you know, there's a company in Manchester who were at the Better Business Summit last week, and he's basically created a way of recycling plastics that were supposedly unrecyclable. And he breaks them down, turns them into other products so that they can be used again. And what he's actually started doing is using the plastic waste from the NHS, breaking that down and giving it them back in other products.
Right.
And that's an incredible cyclical model. And this is absolutely what we should be role modeling and practicing. And, you know, and it does absolutely break my heart, this consumerist nature now of like the kids that order like 30 outfits off things like Pretty Little Thing, wear them with the tag still on to go out, send it back, and or just for their Instagram profile, they were posing them for a series of pictures just to post. And I just think, oh, how have we come to this, that that's what they care about, instead of, it's a slightly different rant, but you've got to just be aware of like those things that are around you as well that we don't often know about unless you're already in that circle. And one thing they talked about at that summit actually was how to get out of your echo chamber, because quite often we're talking to other people who already care and who are already taking action. So it's starting to look as well, if you want to join this movement, that one of the most powerful things you could do is find a way of breaking out of that echo chamber and bringing people in. And I'm not talking about climate deniers, because let's face it, we're never going to get them on board. Don't waste your energy. But those people that are, I'd love to do more, but what do I do? How do I do it? I just have no idea. They're the people that you can help along by role modeling, by talking to them, by asking them what they care about, asking them what the future is they want to see, and really kind of having an explore together of, even if you don't know the answers, just saying, well, let's look at it together. Let's go for a brew and Google some stuff. Let's go and have a chat about what you'd love to do, and just bring them in and make them feel supported, because that's the biggest thing for all of us, I think.
No, absolutely. That, like, because going back to those little changes and, like I said, showing people how to do it. Like I said, most people, I think, do want to do something. They just, like I said, don't know where to start. But and moving on a little bit to business. Now, obviously, there is a definite overlap with these things. There's no doubt about it. Now, I think one of the biggest areas, in my opinion, around business is probably to do with travel, actually. I know it's something I'm aware of with the Northern Affinity. We hold events. You know, by definition, people are traveling. Yeah. And it's something I've been aware of. So one of the things I've been tried to do is the vast majority of our events are now city centre based, because generally speaking, public transport is easier to use to get to those locations. When I first started Northern Affinity, actually the model was we had events outside cities, so it was easier for people to get there by car. I environment thing hadn't really crossed my mind, but it's definitely changed, and that's what the change will be. So that's one thing for me. Now I can decide if someone's going to drive or get the train to the event we've got tomorrow in Liverpool. I can't decide that. That's up to them. But what I can do is put on an op, make it somewhere that gives them that option. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And it was something that cropped up actually for that summit, because they said to us, like, please take public transport to get here when you can. I know some people can't, but please do. We all booked train tickets, and then there was a train strike. And then it snowed as well. So I got to the station thinking, well, there's like one train I can get to Manchester. Didn't run, and they said trains are cancelled all day. So we had to jump in the car and drive over. And a lot of the people that were supposed to attend that event couldn't even get there. So there was a lot of tickets not picked up even when I got there late and stuff. And there are times where it's just not feasible. You just can't do it. It's very unpredictable over here right now. I mean, every time I've tried to get a train in the last 6 months, it's been cancelled, delayed by 3 hours, stopped on the tracks, whatever it is. It's like, it is bedlam. So sometimes this thing, and it's about not guilting yourself, because like you say, you can't do everything. So, you've got to weigh up that thing that these events in a city centre or even out of that people are driving to are actually really important right now, because of the last 3 years we've had as well, that they're bringing people back together in person. They're helping people connect with each other in different ways. Everybody is zoomed out right now. Everybody is, getting a bit like, oh, another one, you're on mute. How many times have we all been told that in the last 3 years? So actually, these events are still so important for things like connection and making people feel like other real people are out there, not just head and shoulders on a screen. I mean, the amount of people that have said to me in the last few weeks, I've never seen you below the shoulders. And that's because, like, they're just people that have finally, after years, met in person. So you've got to weigh up that benefit as well. And if you're really bothered about these things, there are things you can do to offset it. So there are schemes that you can sign up to, and you tell them how many miles you've done in your car and on an airplane and things per year. And they will offset it with either tree planting or other schemes and all kinds of stuff. One of the companies I work for actually has one where they invest in a scheme for entrepreneurs in other countries. I think it's in Africa, in various places. And you can pick the person you want to sponsor with your sort of air miles you earn back, your carbon miles. And there's so many schemes like that where you can give back and kind of offset it and try and ease that guilt a bit. But at the end of the day, we're not doing a Bill Gates and jumping on a plane and then writing a book about the environment the next week. That's, he's the biggest consumer of air travel in the world.
Right.
And he's written a book about saving the planet. How does that work?
There's been some contradictory nature to that.
I can't fathom it. I kind of want to read the book just to see what on earth he actually says. when you think he established something like Microsoft, computers, internet, that have massively contributed to this, and he is the biggest consumer of air travel with his staff, not just him, but all his staff that he flies around the world. Mm. That's incredible to think that he can write a book about saving the planet. So anything where we feel a hypocrite or an imposter is just minor. That is so minor in comparison to a lot of these people. And that's not to say, well, we shouldn't take action then, because obviously our collective action can add up to a lot. But yeah, we give ourselves an easier time, I think.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, what else? I obviously have touched on Travel Air for Business. Is there anything else around that people could maybe think of within their business, whether it's their business or if they're employed, that can make, again, those small changes?
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of things that I hadn't even thought of till someone said to me last week, like about when you're co-working, make sure you go and hire a desk in a company that have got similar values to you and want to make a difference as well. And I thought, that's great, because apparently some, like, just smaller companies will hire out a desk when people are on holiday and stuff. So you're supporting a small business and you can find one that actually cares about the planet and stuff as well. Again, like I say, with your investments, your banking, all of that, making sure that you're with a bank that, I mean, none of them are amazing, but the least impact, you know, the least negative impact you can. So like Starling and some of the others are quite good at where they invest their money and things, and everything down to your business insurance, your pension, all of those make a difference as well. Things like your supplies. A lot of people have gone paper free now with not having a printer. They don't use paper notebooks, which I you can see that behind me, I'm a book hoarder. It's my, you know, thing. But they don't want to use paper anymore. So they've gone totally digital with things like apps where you write and it turns it digital and stuff, so that they can keep notes easier and stuff still, with like the Remarkable tablet, things like that, which, again, it's a digital footprint. But as long as you're not being silly and recording every, like, minutiae of your day, you're probably okay with that and it will improve it. And one thing that really hit home actually for me was so the argument of using like a reusable bottle versus plastic cups and things. One reusable bottle is the equivalent of 200 plastic cups. So if you're someone the keep cups,
yeah.
So if you're someone that collects keep cups every week because you keep forgetting them, you're actually using the equivalent of thousands of plastic cups. You'd have been better just getting one of the paper cups or the plastic cups from that coffee shop in the first place.
Okay.
So it's things like that where I was like, oh, I never even thought about that, that the footprint to create one keep cup is the equivalent of 200 plastic cups anyway. And when you think about that in relation to things like tote bags and all of that as well, I mean, they've always said, like, with these shopper bags and stuff, that as long as you do get it and keep reusing it, then it pays off eventually. I can't remember what they call it now, but it gets to the point where you're in the positive. But for the first few times you use it, it's still a footprint. So yeah. It's just, like I say, it's the little things like that, that if you added up all of this across a day or a week, you know, it could make a big change. And, you know, like I said, spreading that knowledge to other people then. You got five other people to do it. Because someone said, like, the biggest, what they were saying in regards to the keep cup was that if you keep forgetting to take your keep cup out with you, so you keep buying more because they are cheap in a lot of places and whatever, you don't have a coffee that day, because that biggest punishment of you not having that coffee and having to sit through a meeting without your caffeine would be enough punishment for behaviour change for you to remember next time. Oh, I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess a lot of these things are about habits and changing your habits. You know, yeah. I know for many years I used to buy lots of water, bottled water, when I'm out and about. But, you know, I've got a couple of metal ones as well that I carry around with me. I think I've probably bought one bottle of water in about the last year because I've just forgotten it on the odd time and things like that. But making sure where possible, just little things. I think, again, it's habits, isn't it? Once you get into those, it's actually easier.
And I think understanding that, like, even when something says compostable on it or recyclable, unless it's then treated in the right manner, it's not going to be composted or recycled. Because a lot of these things that say it's compostable, the second you put it in general waste, it's not composted. So they're ways that companies are trying to get out of having to do more without actually, and putting the onus on you as the individual to do the right thing with it, even though our recycling system is the most confusing in the world, I think. Like, you know, of what goes where, what colour. I still can't get used to the fact that my general bin is the green one here, since we moved 5 years ago.
Well, I believe I was about to say inconsistent as well.
Yeah.
You know, like, in my house, we've got a black bin for general waste and a green bin for recyclable. I live in Leeds. My parents are just down the road in Wakefield, and they have like 4 different bins and glass and various other things, and we don't have that. And it's like, if ever I'm there, I don't know which ones are right ones to put things in, because it's different to what we have and what bits I can put in the recycling. It's just, there's no uniformity, is there?
No, and when you think, when you're out and about in a city centre, it's actually still rare that you get these separated bins of like bottles, cups, whatever. And then it's, you know, getting people to do it right. Some people, I think, prey on just like, oh, yes, I'll put the wrong thing in each one. But the second something wrong is in a bin, that whole bin gets scrapped. So if you put something in your recycling bin that's not supposed to be in there, that whole bit and anything else on the belt with it will get scrapped and just put as landfill instead. And, you know, we need to call out to our authorities and all sorts to change these patterns, because we're doing our bit and it's just still not going down the chain the way it should do.
Just make it simpler. And I think it's like anything in life, isn't it? For your business, one of your things, you want to make it as easy as possible to people from back to buy from you. Mm. It's a similar kind of idea with this. You want to make it as easy and as simple for people as possible, because that's how you get it done.
Yeah. Absolutely. And don't be afraid to lobby people about it. You know, if you see companies doing things or councils that they could be doing better, they're not going to change it unless enough people put their voice to it.
No.
So, we do need to speak up and, unfortunately, keep pressing them to do the right thing.
Absolutely. So, final kind of question from me, Helen, and it's kind of, an amalgamation of all the questions. If there was a couple of things that people could do today to start change, what would be, if either ones we've mentioned or maybe other things you can think of that can, again, kind of start that process and make things a little bit better?
I'd say the first thing to do is really sit and think about the change you want to see. So is it to do with plastics in the ocean? Is it to do with a local area that, you know, and regeneration? Is it to do with companies that are doing the wrong thing or the fashion industry? Where do you actually really want to have a voice, and what is your power there to start talking about it? And you might not feel like you've got any power yet, but obviously you can build that. So the one thing that the climate change coaches say is you've got to understand your why and your reason for taking action before you take action, because otherwise you will start trying to take action, you'll go up into this kind of active category on the graph, but then you will get overwhelmed, disconnected, all of that, and you'll drop off and, you know, you won't take it anymore. So really just think about what it is that you want to make an impact for, whether it's your kids' future, whether it's to save the animals, it's my thing, or, you know, what is it there? And the second thing is, I'd say, although I've said about getting out of the echo chamber, find people around you that are taking the action and that care as well, or, you know, and especially if the people in the same position where they want to take action, they don't know where to start, and you're feeling like that as well, get together, start looking at how you can share tips amongst each other and how you can share resources and, you know, build a little community around yourself, because it really does help pick you up and make you feel like you're making more progress because you're sharing each other's wins as well as your own.
No, makes sense. Thank you very much, Helen. I guess finally for me, if anyone wants to find out more about you, what you do and your various different things, where's the best places to go?
Yeah, so if you come to unlikelygenius.com, that's all, I say, my coaching and my business side. If you're a parent with kids, or you're a teacher or a grandparent or an auntie, and you want to start helping some little ones take eco action, then head over to bethefuture.earth, and we have kids competition coming up. We've got a huge launch coming on Earth Day in April with our book and game and everything. In fact, let me there we go. But there's a book, a game and activity book coming out, and it's all about having fun while taking action. So it's for the grown-ups as well as the kids, but that's where you can find us.
Brilliant, Helen. Thank you very much. Really appreciate your time. And you know, I've you may have seen I've made some notes about things I want to do. So You know, that's the whole premise of this podcast, and hopefully other people will do the
same. I'm surprised with what came out of my head myself, to be honest.
All good. It's all good. So thank you so much for this, Helen.
No worries. Thank you for having me.
I hope you enjoyed this chat today, and like me, you learned something new from our wonderful expert. So if you'd like to hear from more of our sessions, please subscribe on whatever platform that you get your podcast from to hear more. And also, we'd love to meet you at some point at one of our upcoming events. We, the Northern Affinity hold events all across the north of England, and we'd love to meet new people and then have guests along. So please come along and check out our website or all the details in the show notes. Thank you very much for listening, and see you next time.